Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.
It's Mr. FSP. I'm sick and sick as can be, but I'm in the place that gives you all the information and great conversation. And with me today is none other than always taking money, always ATMing JT, ATM Taylor. What's up, dude?
Nothing much, man. Nothing much. I'm in it. Life and death battle to get to the next championship. We're jousting back and forth and making roster moves. It's coming down to certain positions getting points. He just made his last move that he can make this week, and I have to admit it's a good move. I got him tied in closers. I'm overtaking him in innings pitched and appearances. And he's got two starters going today. I have one. He's got me by wins. I'm not going to catch him by wins. I loaded up yesterday with six starting pitchers I had yesterday. The max. The max I could have in pitchers without, in fact, I had took away one of my closers, which luckily, and this is the ironic thing, I took one of my closers away, and that was the one, I had three closers, two of them were facing each other, so hopefully, I was hoping that whoever won the game, the closer would come in, because that would tie us in closing points. But the one I put on the bench I've never put any of my closers on the bench, and this is the first time I did it all year. The team won 4-0. The closer came in, and I guess because it wasn't a closing situation, he got an appearance, but he didn't get in closers. He didn't get a closing point, so I didn't feel bad. I was on my edge of my seat, hoping he didn't get a closer point, and I would have blown a closer point on my bench for the first time that I ever put one of my closers on the bench, just so I could get six starters because I was trying to catch him in wins. So we've been going back and forth. He had three starters today. He put one of those starters on the bench. He picked up, in his last move, he picked up another closer. So he's got four closers in his roster right now compared to my three, which is really equates to two because two of them are facing each other. So it's going to be two versus four. I got two more moves to make, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it with the closers. Let me put it this way. It's going to come down to a point or two, one way or the other, if we win. If I win or he wins. That's how close it is.
So, Jerry, Mr. Yes. Dominating. Now, ladies and gentlemen, before we go any further with this, because Jerry just took about 10 minutes, but we're talking about fantasy baseball right now.
Right.
Jerry has dominated our league from day one up until the end of the final season. So he went from beginning to end, and now he's in the playoffs, number one seed, fighting for his life versus the number four seed.
It happens, man. It happens. I told you before. It happens. My pitching, and I told you this 2 or 3 weeks ago, I don't know what the hell happened, but my pitching has all of a sudden let me down. My hitting, for the most part, has been carrying my roster for the last week.
Season?
No. My pitching had, for the most part, been carrying my roster. when I finally got the bats I wanted in my roster for the hitting, that was toward the end of the season. Now my pitching has started to weaken, and my batting is holding. Right now, I'm the majority of the wins I had over the season was dominating in the pitching and getting points sporadically with my everyday players. Now, for the last few weeks, my everyday players have been, I would say dominating, but been doing very well, and my pitching has been horrible. I had 6 starting pitchers, 4 of them with 4-star matchups, and I only got 1 win out of all those.
Welcome to my world. That's what I had to deal with all season. My would come from Verlander, and then when I got Gio Gonzalez, mm-hmm. I started to get some more wins. Then I picked up Lance Lynn from you in that Verlander deal, so I was getting wins. But then Verlander, mm-hmm. Lynn started to act up. So,
I'm right now, because I told you, anything can happen. We'll see what happens. Because it's the playoffs, and you never know. I'm scrambling for my life here. This guy loaded up on the closers, which is a hell of a good move. His last move he made, picked up 1 more closer from the Cubs, and they're going against Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh's been in the freaking dumps for the last few weeks. They've been playing like Pittsburgh versus playing like world beaters early part of the season or midway part of the season. Now they've gone into the toilet. We'll see what happens. He's trying to get me on appearances, and he's trying to get me on the closer, for one. He's trying to beat me on the closer, which I understand. And he's trying to get me on appearances and innings pitched. But I got 2 more moves to make before the weekend's out. And I'm trying to decide whether to go to 2 starting pitchers, which wouldn't make too much sense. Yes, it would, because I would add up on innings. Or go to...
Well, it also depends on whether those are quality pitches, because the ERA can get blown up.
His ERA right now is 2.25. Mine is 4.36. My pitchers blew up yesterday, man. Pitchers, I thought, one pitcher, Medlin, he struck out 3 guys. He left the game with a 1-1 with a no decision. I was pissed. I was really counting on him for a win, and he left the game, even though Atlanta eventually won the game 2-1 with a walk-off single or whatever it was. He left the game in his sixth or seventh inning, 13 strikeouts, but a no decision, which killed me. I could have at least got within 1 of a win of this guy. Now I'm down by 2 in the win column, down by 6 in the loss column, which I really thought I wasn't going to catch him in the loss column because he only has 1 loss. He's got 3 saves. I've had 3 saves. I've got 16 appearances. He's got 11 appearances. I have 76.1 innings pitched. He has 48. So,
okay,
more than likely.
Here's my question. Here's my question. How many blown saves are there?
None.
Okay, so with him loading up on relief pitchers or closers, you could grab that category if all of his, let's say maybe 1 or 2 of his closers gets a blown save. That gives you 1 category. So
I'm going to let him load up on pitchers and closers. That's fine, because I was concerned about appearances, but I have 2 more moves to make. I'm not going to make them until tomorrow. And I'll see what happens. It'll dictate which way I want to go, because he can't make any more moves. He's maxed out his moves. This was his last move.
Yeah, number 6 or number 5 for the week.
Yeah.
You've hijacked the show. I didn't plan to talk about baseball, but since we're talking about baseball.
I'm not hijacked the show. I was in the throes of looking at what was I going to do, and I had to express it. Plus the fact is you can relate to it because of the fact you're in the same league. You're not in the playoffs, and I'm not. That's the fact. Wait a minute. See, you didn't let me finish. I said, you're not in the plays, and I said, I'm going to say that wasn't a backhanded slap. But I'm saying you can relate to it because the fact is you're in the same league, and you can understand what I'm going through here.
I'm the creator and owner of it, so I hate you guys.
You most eloquently played it out earlier, telling them that I was in the league and I was leading all year, and I'm the number one seed, and he's the number four seed. So no, it wasn't a backhanded slap. It wasn't meant like that. I was just saying that to say that you can relate to what I was talking about. So
here's my question: Are you playing Angelo's? Or are you playing T-Town?
T-Town.
Now I'm gonna tell you something, Lloyd, and that's owner Lloyd. Lloyd hit me up, and he said because he's also in the Yahoo Football League.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted me to pay him right then and there for his team or wait till after the playoffs. I was like, Lloyd, there's no guarantee you're going to win anything in the playoffs and you're going to make the playoffs, so yeah, pay for you now. So he said, I'll pay it now, but I just want to save you a trip to the post office. I have to mail him the money. So I'm just letting you know, Lloyd's in it to win it, and he's not playing.
Well, you think I'm playing? You know from the start I wasn't playing because I let the whole freaking league. I wasn't playing, so I mean it's just a matter of me making whatever move I'm going to make. I think I have an idea what I'm going to do, and just let it play itself out.
Well, Lloyd's coming for you. I'm letting you know he's not joking. But let's transition into today's show. That was a great 20 minutes.
15, man, 15. Not
whatever.
Even 15.
Not all right, even ladies 15. And gentlemen, I didn't even introduce the show. I didn't even introduce the number, nothing like that. But let's go. You're listening to Fantasy Sports and Politics with me, it's your boy FSP, and Jerry ATM Taylor in the place to be. On today's show, we're going to talk a little bit about boxing. I'm hoping that Black calls in because we have two of his favorite topics. Boxing and college football. So we're talking about that. NFL Week 2 preview, as well as we're going to discuss are the suspensions for the NFL players, namely the New Orleans Saints players and Scott Fujita, are they actually over? Or are they just set to the side as the NFL and Roger Goodell has placed out to the audience? We'll hear from Mr. Hargrove, one of the suspended players, about that. Also, in the college football conversation, we're going to talk about the Tennessee-Florida game. It's a big game for Tennessee in light of all the things that have gone on as far as trying to get a better team and athletic department since Fulmer has left and then Lane Kiffin left and all this other mess. We're also going to talk and hear from the Alabama-Arkansas game. Did you know that Arkansas has switched quarterbacks just for this game? It's amazing. It's amazing. We're going to hear about that. Also, Jerry and I are going to get into some fantasy football as far as some starts, sits, as well as some prizes and disappointments thus far in this fantasy season. I know it's only Week 2, and Week 1 isn't, you know, really a good gauge. But we're going to talk about some players that we might think might disappoint you. We'll see what happens. And Jerry did the much, much more part when he talked about baseball off the top, so we'll go from there. But, Mr. Taylor, I want to bring up this boxing issue. And I know you're a boxing aficionado as well.
Mm-hmm.
Lately, over the last couple fights, there have been some pretty good boxing matches. Dawson and I've got the kid who Dawson fought, but he's out here in Oakland. But they just had a good fight. Then you got Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. going up against the powerhouse kid tonight. I don't consider Pacquiao against... I don't even know the guy's name right now. Marquez, number four, a good fight to have on boxing. But do you think boxing is making a resurgence in its in these last couple fights, especially since UFC has faltered just a little with the John Jones mishap of their fight. Do you think this is an opportunity for boxing to capitalize?
Well, it's twofold. I don't think boxing really took a back step. I think there's some a lot of intriguing fights, especially with the lower weights, that people seem to be more interested in and seem to be more exciting. This Canelo versus Lopez, the super welterweight world championship, which is supposed to be tonight, I think. It should be an intriguing one. Martinez and Chavez Jr. should be another intriguing one. So it's been like this for years that the heavyweight and the heavier weights haven't been as intriguing, the excitement, like Floyd Mayweather and Pacquiao and the like, have always, for the last few years, been the most exciting. And once you get these young guns that are up and coming against some maybe a proven a veteran with a name, you always have an intriguing fight and a fight people want to see. I'm very interested to see how Canelo versus Lopez, because for the last few years I've always liked the lower tier fights because there's more action. These guys, a lot of them are perpetual motion. They keep the fight flowing, not like the heavyweights that are plotters around the ring. And people want that. You know, it's instant gratification and excitement that people are looking for when they watch boxing, and these lower weighted fights can do that.
Well, you know, it's microwave era. You know, everybody wants everything instantly and now.
Mm-hmm.
But Black brought up something to us, and I found it rather interesting.
What's that?
50 Cent actually is working with Manny Pacquiao on some boxing promotion and some other things. He posted it on both our Facebook, well, on your Facebook page, and I shared it with the folks that follow me on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a power move to get Bob Arum out of the way, because we all know 50 Cent and Mayweather are like thick as thieves. So why would 50 join forces with Pacquiao on anything unless it's a charity?
Let me tell you something. There's no way, if I was in the Pacquiao camp, that I would even entertain the fact or even let 50 Cent anywhere near my fighter.
Of course.
Watch any kind of sparring matches, watch any kind of strategy match sessions or whatever else, knowing that 50 Cent is supposedly so tight with Floyd. I don't know what the heck's going on here. This is absolutely crazy. When I read this and heard it from Black, it makes no sense to me. I know it's got to do with money, but this is, I guess I'm one of the conspiracy guys thinking that there's got to be more to it than a money thing with 50 dealing with Pacquiao. That's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
I agree. I didn't even think about the aspect that you just brought up, having 50 anywhere near a training session or seeing his diet or anything like that, because, of course, he and Mayweather have been, quote-unquote, friends for, what, about 6-7 years now? Something
mm-hmm.
like that?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're business partners as well. Now, I know boxing is a business. It's also a sport, and it's a blood sport. But that's swimming with sharks. I don't know what type of confidence Pacquiao has in his abilities, or Freddie Roach, or anybody to conceal what they can do or what they would do to Mayweather in a boxing match with 50 Cent around. I just don't get it. I want to know from the fans and those that are listening. You can call us. The number's 347-637-3220. Again, 347-637-3220. And get in on that conversation. And I want to hear what people have to say about it, because everybody tells that Money Mayweather is the best pound-for-pound boxer, he would destroy him. Stephen A. Smith and Omar have said that Money would knock out Pacquiao in 6 rounds. Skip Bayless said Pacquiao would get him in around 8, 9, or 10 rounds. And if it did go to decision, it would go to Pacquiao. I mean, I don't get it. I don't understand it. But business is business. And if 50 Cent is bringing the best possible business aspect, I think that's the only avenue I would keep 50 Cent in. Only avenue. You don't get to come to my gym. You don't get to come anywhere. You can meet me at my office on 5513 West Hollywood Boulevard, wherever he has his daggone office at. You know, it doesn't matter.
Right.
But I couldn't do it. But I think the state of boxing, they've got some exciting fights. And the reason why I brought this up is because DirecTV and UFC have joined together to offer a package. And I think they're actually grasping at trying to get the boxing thing. They're offering you 6 UFC events for the price of 5. So you prepay for 6 UFC matches in high definition, $275 or $255. So, you know, I'm like, how in the world is that possible that boxing has a jump? Talk about that for a second, please.
Oh, man. To me, I understand it's a $20, $25 difference or whatever it is, but that's still too much for me. I mean, I understand that people are into UFC, but I'm not into UFC, and there's no way I would pay that. I would pay that. I mean, you only, what kind of discount? You're only getting one free event? To me, that's no discount, man. I mean, what's that do? That's no discount.
Well,
you only getting one free event.
I think that Dana is trying to make up for the money they lost when they canceled UFC 151. And by partnering with DirecTV, you'll get those hardcore MMA followers. Now, listen to this. I'm serious when I say this. The military personnel, whether it's Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, whatever, they're hardcore. Hardcore MMA guys. They'll do that. They'll pay $275 to watch it in high definition in order to, you know, say, well, you know what? I got this fight, I got that fight. I'm going to see all the fights. And you got them through February. So the last fight you pay for is in February. So you never know. You might have a couple sleepers or a couple good matches. I mean, I was tempted to take.
Yeah,
really,
but it's only a $20 difference. You're only paying, rather than $275, you're paying $255. Whoop-dee-damn-do, to me, in my opinion. Whoop-dee-damn-do. Well, it's only a $20 difference. Wow. That's a real big discount. $20.
Well,
real
bruh,
big discount.
I mean,
and put it this way. Let me ask you something. What's the normal going rate for an event?
About 55, $60.
Okay, so if it's $60, you're only taking a third off. You're only taking a third off of one event. So where is the discount? You follow me? You're only taking a third off of one event. If you wanted to discount it, you're getting 5 for $6. It should be 5 for $6. So you're taking off $60. Off of one event, or $55 or $50 off of one event. So you instead of paying $255, you're paying $225 or $200. You follow me? That's a discount, not just $20. That's and no reflection on you or anybody that's in the military or anybody who likes it. But in my opinion, that's a sucker bet. That's a sucker purchase because in fact, it's only $20. It's not even. You're paying. They say they're advertising it as we're giving you 5 for $6. All right.
But Jerry, but we're not talking about the money. We're talking about the tactic here. It's a tactic to draw in more fans.
Yeah, but it's what I'm saying, it's a flawed tactic. If anybody did the math, not the math of five for six, but the math of the purchase price for per event, the average purchase price per event, that's really no discount. I understand it's $20, but it's really no discount. If you're going to give me 5 for $6, give me 5 for $6. Give me the cost of what it would be for 6 events and take one of those full person price of one event off. Now, that's a discount. That's a discount. But that what the if people just look at, oh, I'm giving you 5 for $6, and it don't do the math of the average purchase price, that's a sucker purchase, because the fact is they're only taking $20, so they're only losing $20, and if it's a $60 event, they're gaining $40 anyway from the event, because the fact is they only took $20 off of a $60 event. Wow.
I mean, I got it. That's one to bring it up.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I don't know if anybody, if you think about it, you do the math, you do the whole math, that's no discount. In my opinion, that's no discount. It is, but it isn't.
It's a shadowed type of discount, meaning one-third off of one event is okay, but it's not worth the bargain.
Right.
I get what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You might have some duds in there, but you get 6 events out of that, you know, time. Because UFC does 2 fights a month.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's pretty good if you look at it like that. But we'll see what happens. Anyway, let's move on. I want to go to college football right now. We're going to save pro football for last. Big game. Big game happening. Again, including Alabama Crimson Tide, Arkansas. Now, I love the Crimson Tide. I mean, they brought in Bozzelli, the guy that was in prison for like 30 years of his life and was wrongly accused, and all he wanted to do was have one professional boxing match. Nick Saban brought him in this week to talk to his team. And the purpose was to show that, you know, you got to persevere through a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff sometimes. Even if you're right and sometimes you're wrong, you got to persevere and keep going no matter what anybody says. Well, Arkansas said, you know what, we're going to change it up. We're going to play a different quarterback. Here's a story on that.
Brandon Allen stepped in and has been able to do that, and he can throw it. He's a lot like Tyler, maybe a little bit more mobile, but a lot like Tyler. So the game plan that you would run with Tyler is the same one you're going to run with Brandon, and so we'll be able to go with that.
Now, the reason I brought up Bozzelli is because I think Michigan gave rest of the college football atmosphere a look at what a mobile quarterback can do to Alabama. Granted, Michigan got their butts beat a couple weeks ago, but you have a very, very fast guy, Tenard, I forgot his last name, the kid out of Michigan. This cold is really kicking my butt in my memory, but it's okay. So Arkansas says, you know what? We've got a strong running game. We've got a decent passing game, and we have a very good defense. So we're going to put our more mobile quarterback in the game. Do you think that's a good move on Arkansas's part? Change it up just for this game?
Well, isn't the Arkansas quarterback hurt, the original starter? Isn't he hurt? That's why he's not playing?
He's nicked up, but he could play if he needed to.
Okay, well, he's nicked up because he could play if he needed to. Then I would say that I don't know, man. I mean, that you're playing with fire there. Well, I don't know why you're playing musical quarterbacks. That's a dangerous way to go. You got a starting quarterback. You should stick with him. Unless he's nicked up enough that he won't be effective in a game, and you put the second-string quarterback in, or supposedly second-string quarterback in there.
Well, he's not mobile. The first-string quarterback isn't as mobile, won't be a sitting target for that defense.
Well,
so instead of it being nicked up, he probably injured or out for the whole game.
Well, I understand that. But
for their whole season if they did it.
But the mobile quarterback is the backup quarterback, meaning he's a backup quarterback for a reason. So you're trading one – you're trading the starting quarterback capability of a quarterback for his mobility. You're compromising your offense just so the guy could be mobile, unless it was a close competition and the guy just flipped the coin and made the one that's immobile the best quarterback. That's a dangerous way to go to try to tilt your way and try to protect your offense with a mobile quarterback. I don't think it's a good move. I mean, unless the guy is lost a job for to the starting quarterback by a hair, then if they're close to an ability, then that's fine. If they're not, and the guy's truly a backup quarterback, then your offense is definitely going to suffer, and in turn, your whole team is going to suffer from an inability of your offense to do anything with a backup quarterback.
Well, I looked at it in a way of, okay, they're trying to compete, and the only way they feel like they can compete is by putting in a mobile quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Do I play musical chairs at quarterback? No. Is it a situation where I don't want to risk the whole season on my starting quarterback going against that fast, rough Alabama defense? I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know if I would do it or not.
Wait a minute. He's a starting quarterback. You can't baby a quarterback. He's going to come out up against rough defense. So what the heck? If he's a starting quarterback, he should have a set. He should have a set in between his legs to be able to deal with a fierce defense. Otherwise, he shouldn't be your starting quarterback. So,
but maybe that's not the case. It's a coaching thing. Maybe the guy says, okay, well, you know what? We stand a better chance of winning if they can't contain our quarterback. Our pocket quarterback will get killed. Our mobile quarterback will give us a little bit of extra oomph against this team.
Mm-hmm.
I look at it in many different ways, and that's just one of them. I just thought I'd bring it up because this is a big game for Arkansas. Very big game.
Mm-hmm.
And first time in a long time that they've had Alabama at home. So, you know, that's what I'm thinking about. I think that Alabama's going to win the game regardless. No matter who the head coach is or what decision is made, I just think that it should be a good game, but Alabama wins.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to another game, a big game that has implications of a different sort. Tennessee at Florida, or Florida at Tennessee, I should say. Here's Muschamp, the head coach of Florida, talking about this game and the atmosphere.
One of the exciting things about being a part of that Southeastern Conference is the opportunity on every Saturday to run out in front of 90, 100,000 people, national TV, and to play in a big-time atmosphere. And so there's nothing like being in the arena on Saturday night.
So he's talking about just going out there in a big-time atmosphere. And, you know, Tennessee hasn't been relevant since Phil Fulmer and Peyton Manning and a couple other people. So he just is like, we're just going to go out there. SEC conference, good stuff going on, national team, beatable another team. Well, Tennessee's head coach thinks a little differently.
We're going to be multi-formational. We're still running in different personnel groupings. But the one thing our guys like to do is push the ball down the field, and that's the one thing that's been fun to watch so far.
So their dynamic offense in Tennessee, if you want to call it that, they want to push the ball down the field against Florida and all that speed. How do you see this game folding out, Jerry?
Florida and Tennessee. I like Tennessee, man. Believe it or not, I like
really?
Tennessee in this game. So,
really? Tell me why.
I just have a feeling that Tennessee is where they be playing at?
Tennessee.
That's why. I thought that's where they're playing at. I think they're playing in Tennessee. It's a big inter-school rivalry. I think Tennessee can pull the upset.
Really?
Yep.
Would you be willing to place money on that?
Oh, here we go. No.
I'm just asking.
Well, let me put it, no. No, maybe if I win this league, if I win this league, yes. Not right now.
Well, baseball, we're going to get to our fantasy football matchup that we got going this week. We're definitely going to hit on that. Believe that, buddy. But
you can talk about our trade too, buddy.
Hey, which trade? We'll talk about that. I mean, I don't think it's going to happen with what you're saying, but we'll see. Anyway, college football is heating up. You got like Navy going to Penn State. Penn State hasn't won a game. Last week, their field goal kicker missed three field goals, and they lost by 1 point. You got North Carolina and Louisville. And right now, I think Virginia Tech is getting beat up on by Virginia. By Pittsburgh. So college football is in full swing. That's why I really wish Black was here so we could talk about his sport, college football. But SC and Bama look like the predominant teams. Now, SC has a bad defense, but awesome offense. Do you think Stanford has a chance at beating them again this year? Now, they're going to be without your boy, Andrew Luck. Barkley's still there for SC. How do you see this game folding up?
SC and Stanford? I don't see it being a contest. I think it's an interstate rivalry, and I think SC is out to make a statement. Lane Kiffin is going to get those guys fired up. And I think I don't think it's going to be close, tell you the truth. I don't know what the point spread is off the top of my head, but I don't think it's going to be close. I really don't think it's going to be close.
I think it is. I think it is. Because all this pressure is on this kid that replaced Luck. But the system hasn't changed. That's the thing. The defense of SC is not that potent, but their offense is. Now, Stanford goes, okay, well, three tight ends and this, that, and the third. And they couldn't really stop them with Luck. Barkley outdueled them. We both agree on that. But can Stanford's defense stand up to that potent SC offense is the question. And I think SC's going to win, but I think it's going to be closer than you feel it's going to be. I honestly think that it might be like a maybe 7 to 10 point game. How do you feel that way? I mean, what do you honestly? Do you think Andrew Luck is that big of a difference?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, besides Andrew Luck, you lost Kobe Fleener. I'm trying to think who else you lost.
Left tackle or left guard or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, yes, absolutely, absolutely. I don't think it's going to be. excuse me. I don't think it's going to be. Close. 10 points and up is my barometer of not being close, and I think it's going to be at least a 10-point win. I don't think it's going to be any closer than that. I think they want to put it to spank on them, and because it's an interstate rivalry, and they want to make sure that they want to send a message that you are not in the same league with us. Plain and simple. I don't care if they're in the top 25 as I think they rated number 21 or something like that.
Number
21, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I don't care. They're gonna try to lay the wood on these guys to make a statement. So.
All right. Well, last college question I got for you or to the audience again. If you're listening and you want to chime in, you can dial 347-637-3220. Again, the number's 347-637-3220. I appreciate if you call in. Give us some insight on what you feel. Do you think that Penn State has a curse on them, or what's the deal? They're 0-2, two games they should have won, and they're going to play Navy. who is going to, you know, they're going to run the ball all over you. What do you see happening at Penn State and Navy today?
Penn State and Navy. Wow. Penn State and Navy.
In Happy Valley.
In Happy Valley?
Yeah.
Penn State and Navy. That's a good question, man. Penn State's lost their first two. Well, wow. I'm not sure, man. I have to think that they're a little discouraged from the first two games. Navy got plastered by Notre Dame in overseas, right, in Ireland.
Yeah,
okay.
First game of the season.
They've had a couple weeks to prepare for Penn State. I think it's going to be a Penn State win. I can't give you a specific score, but I think Penn State rebounds and beats Navy. It was an aberration that a field goal kicker would miss that many field goals. I think he rebounds and the whole team does well and beats Navy this afternoon.
I think Happy Valley goes unhappy again. Navy runs all over them because that wishbone and that option is going to be too much for the Penn State Nittany Lions to continually cover.
Really?
I think that, yeah. So I think that Navy gets its win, and they do it kind of soundly. I really do.
Penn State's favored by 6.5 points.
I think they don't cover. I think they lose outright.
Wow.
They lose outright.
That would be a surprise.
Yeah, to some, not to team. Navy is a hard-running team, man. Regardless, mm-hmm. They don't throw the ball. They don't throw that ball that much. And, you know, when you're constantly pounding away and pounding away at a team that's already lost some key personnel on defense, you know, it kind of hurts your pride a little bit. You start to get discouraged. Like, oh,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to tackle him this hard. What am I playing for? We already have two losses. You know, it's not like we can get a Big Ten championship or go to a bowl game. So, whatever. You know, I actually think Navy's going to break them and beat them. But that's just FSP's opinion.
Yeah.
I don't know. It could be. It might not be. But let's transition straight into the pros. Now, we know that Michael Roger Goodell Black Wright, had to give his full name, is not here today, but his counterpart in the NFL sent out some information saying that, yes, the courts made a ruling, but the suspensions are just on hold for now.
They can't be on hold.
And that's what the NFL...
They can't
not
be on
the NFL
hold.
Put out. I got you.
That's just propaganda. It can't be on hold. I'm listening. Go ahead. Because the fact is, Will Smith already played one game. No, Will Smith played one game, so he's going to play. They're not on hold. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Here's Mr. Hargrove on: are the suspensions happening or aren't they?
If I was guilty of a crime, which I'm not, then I would be open to it. But the fact that I'm not guilty, you know, I don't want to reduce. I'd like my suspension taken away completely. Show us the evidence. And if you don't have anything, let us go. Let us get back to work. You know, let us play football.
So they're talking about reducing the suspensions instead of totally suspending them. And that's why I'm getting to that point, Jerry, that
mm-hmm.
even though the arbitrators, the three neutral persons stated that the suspensions were unjust, Roger Goodell and the NFL are saying, we're going to suspend you. They just might not be as many games. So before I let you talk, I'm going to bring in my cousin, who I know is going to have something to say about this, because it's just the way he is. Welcome in, Michael Moore. What's up?
Macau. What's up?
That's right. I'm petty like that. I'm petty like that.
That's right.
Why are you petty?
Man, last time I was on this show, I got roasted by all these non-Redskin fans, and you wasn't here. You wasn't here, Slim. You wasn't
hey.
Here, so I had to come back, you know what I'm saying, and bust off and let everybody know. You know what I'm saying? What's that? Who that team? Oh, the Redskins. Okay. I feel better.
I'm on your side on this. So how are you coming off all angry, man, on me? I mean, come on.
I'm not coming angry on you, man. I told you. I just said you wasn't there. You know what I'm saying? You wasn't there. And I'm just letting the whole world know.
All right. Well, right now we're talking about the NFL and Roger Goodell saying that the suspensions are going to be reduced. And as Jerry and I were just talking about, the three-team or the three-person arbitrating force said, no, the suspensions were unjust. So how can the NFL and Roger Goodell impose some sort of suspension on these guys?
The NFL is just crazy, man. I told y'all that they don't have anything. So now they talking about they gonna reduce it. Really? Really? At first it was like, oh no, we got the evidence. You know what I'm saying? We don't even really have to talk to them. We don't have to have no trial, nothing. We just gonna go ahead and implement the sentencing and just, you know, whatever. Because, you know, them dudes, they lying. They not telling the truth. You know, now it's like, okay, we don't really have to talk to you, but we're going to reduce it. How's that? Nah, Slim. They got nothing.
That's my question, and I know Jerry has an opinion on it, because how can Roger Goodell and the NFL, Jerry, just say they're going to suspend these guys anyway? What are they going to suspend them on?
Exactly. That's the point. The court, the three arbitrators said that you can't do this. You got to go back and define what you want, what the charge is, and you got to show them what the evidence is for one. And the NFL, like I said when you first told me that, that's just propaganda to make people feel like, well, we are doing something. They're still suspended. They can't do that. It ain't going to happen. Roger Goodell is supposed to meet, supposedly, with all these guys in the early part of next week, supposedly. So he's just talking out of both sides out of his mouth. He's saying one thing to the public, and he's probably backtracking like crazy, and people are trying to stop him from falling on his butt because he's backtracking so much. Just like McCad said earlier, and we disputed it, but I have to admit he was right. They ain't got nothing. They never showed anything. Now the truth has to come out into the light, and they don't want it to come out in the light because they don't have enough to do what they want to do. And so who knows where this is going, but those players are playing until something gets resolved. So
that's
the bottom line.
That's my question, though.
Well, what's the question?
We can say something gets resolved, but what can they suspend them on? Because if they're going to say, well, we're going to now show you this, that, and the third, and we're going to say that this was your voice, and I can say it's not my voice all day, da-da-da-da-da, so they can go through the whole process. They might not get a suspension until, like, mid-season, late in the season, or whatever. And to this point, Jonathan Vilma has said, no, I don't want to meet with the rest of those guys. I want to meet you one-on-one. I mean, what does that say?
And he wants to look at, You want him to look him in the eye and tell him that lie. Because you're right. What are they going to charge him? What are they going to do with him? Believe me, they making it up right now. Them dudes is sitting up there in New York in some nice office space making that crap up right now. And when you hear it, you're going to be like, oh, my goodness. What? Because Vilma and them not going to back up. They not, which he shouldn't. I'm so glad that he chose to stand up and fight. I was like, oh, man, somebody need to stand up to these dudes. I'm so glad he doing it. So glad he doing it. And he don't need to retreat.
Well, and I think that's going to be the fight that every player now goes through. You want to suspend me? You want to do this to me? I'm going to fight you. I'll take you to civil court. I'll make a big mess about it so that the NFL shield, which Roger Goodell always says we have to protect the shield, gets a little soiled. And I think that's the precedent that has been set. What do you guys think about that before I move on?
I mean, yeah, but you got evidence. If you got evidence, then you're going down. You know, that's the whole thing. If the NFL had any evidence, it wouldn't have gotten this far. If the NFL were telling the truth about it from the beginning, then we wouldn't have this problem. They wouldn't have this problem. We wouldn't be going through this, man.
Okay.
If somebody else gets suspended and he chooses to fight it or whatever, like if you get suspended, you know, because you test positive on a drug test or whatever, how you gonna fight that? The evidence is right there. The evidence is right there. Where's the evidence? You know what I'm saying?
I got you. JT, real quick before we switch to the last two topics, and then we'll go to fantasy football.
I got nothing. I totally agree with what he's saying. So, I mean, we can move on from there.
All right. Well, since my cousin came in with it, let's move to it.
There's tremendous room for improvement, and he will improve. You know, like I said, it was a great start, but clearly it was a simple game plan. I thought a tremendous game plan really caught the New Orleans Saints off guard. But, you know, I think the sky's the limit for Robert Griffin III, but I think probably a little bit of high praise for the first week of the season.
So, everybody's giving RG3 all this love and praise. This week he's going to face a very strong defense in St. Louis, believe it or not. Yes, I said it. St. Louis has a pretty daggone good defense. All three levels. We'll see what happens because they can stop the run, unlike New Orleans. But, Jerry, since my cousin brought it in, assess RG3's performance of last week and how do you think he might fare this week?
He's playing. Who is he playing now? Who are they playing?
They're playing St. Louis.
St. Louis. In St. Louis. Second time on the road in a dome against the St. Louis offense, Jeff Fisher's defense. I still like his chances. He's playing on a fast turf. He likes playing on a fast turf. I still like his chances. I think he's not going to waver from what he did the first week. I think you're going to see a repeat performance. So.
Would you start him over Drew Brees this week?
Would I start him over
Drew Brees? Because Drew Brees is going against Carolina's defense, which isn't that good, and he's going against St. Louis' defense, which isn't that bad either. But, matter of fact, let me go this way. Would you start RG3 over, let's say, Eli, since Eli is going against a Tampa Bay defense, which is very much improved?
Yes.
Eli or RG3?
Absolutely, I would start RG3 over Eli because RG3 is a dual threat. Besides passing the ball, he can use his legs. Eli is primarily a passer, and that's it. I like RG3 chances over Drew Brees. You're stretching it there. Even though Drew Brees doesn't perform as well on the road, as he does in the dome. So I think I would take Robert Griffin III over Eli. When I wouldn't even blink an eye over Drew Brees. I don't think so.
Okay. Cuz, what you got? What you want to know? What's your question?
Who would you start? I know you're a Hardy Boyle fan.
I'm sitting over here basking in all that glow because, you know, I remember a couple of times I called the show. A certain dude was like, oh, man, y'all just got man crushes on the dude. You know, now I'm just sitting here listening to him. You know, I'm just basking.
I have to interrupt you for a minute, Mick.
Go ahead.
There's a certain host on a Friday night show that was desperately looking for you to call in because you know he's he was definitely wasn't thinking too much of Kermit the Frog. That's what he was saying. I'm just repeating what he was saying, and he was dying. He was hoping really that you would call in last night because he wanted to talk about the mad hysteria that's going on down there about your quarterback and how people are going overboard for your quarterback.
Well, he just mad because everybody in the entire country likes my quarterback better than his. That's it. That's all. You know.
Well, you know what the thing is here. You know, I love the debate with Mac because Mac says he's a middleman politically, but that dude is straight conservative. He's like Uncle Ruckus conservative type person. I mean, I still love him because the dude biblically, you know, we mesh there and we have a lot of similar thoughts. But I just go about my thoughts a little differently as far as policy goes.
Mm-hmm.
But to sit up there and on Facebook and talk about how Stafford and the Lions got the victory. They barely beat the Rams. Now, no knock on the Rams, but they shut down Calvin Johnson. And by the way, Calvin Johnson's starting to get that mad jinx. Starting to get it. Just saying. Messed up ankle this week. Didn't practice. What's going to happen in the next couple weeks? But, I mean, Stafford had three interceptions last week, one touchdown. RG3 versus a Super Bowl contending team was masterful. Now, yes, Kyle Shanahan called a great game plan, but you call a great game plan all day. If people don't execute, that's the problem. So you had three rookies on the Redskins team stand out that game. The quarterback, the running back, and the wide receiver. The wide receiver, Aldrick Henderson, I think, I can't remember his last name.
Anderson,
thank you.
Yeah.
He's actually going to start tomorrow if Pierre Garçon can't. That speaks a lot of volume to me about Santana Moss, because Santana only got like two looks last week, and they're trying to move away from him. And Hankerson hasn't done much. But in my opinion,
they just trying. They're gonna keep Santana in the slot. They want Santana in the slot. That's all that is.
I got it, but he didn't get but so many looks. And RG3 did outperform Drew Brees, one of the premier field generals in professional football. We got a call from the 760. I don't know if he wants to be on here or not, but I'm gonna put you on and hear what you got to say real quick. Before I move on, call from the 760. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Politics. Please state your name.
My name is Drea. I just called in to just listen and see what the guys are talking about.
All right. Well, if you got something you want to say, just hit the one button and I'll bring you back on, okay? And thanks for calling in and listening. I appreciate it.
Will do.
All right. Hey, that's wonderful. I appreciate the love. If you want to call in, if you have something to say, especially about RG3, my cousin will gladly debate you. But find out 347-637-3220. Again, that's 347-637-3220.
Are you trying to help
me on the spot like that. But it's okay.
I'm just saying. Okay. I know you're the man. You're the man for it. They can't understand me because I got a cold. I got a cold. I'm like Jim Kimmel. So anyway, let's move on to Jerry's second favorite team and their matchup this week.
What's my favorite second favorite team?
Well, I thought the Soundbite was going to play. The Jets versus the Steelers.
Oh, you know what? You know what?
How successful will Mark Sanchez's offense be against the Steelers D that is wounded and embarrassed by Peyton Manning on the road? Who wants to play a wounded Pittsburgh Steeler defense? Not many people.
So there we go. Your second favorite team, you abandoned them. It's okay.
Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it. I really appreciate that. I hope
well,
you burn.
Saying, you know, you
I hope you burn,
the road like an abandoned child or something.
I hope you burn. That's all I can tell you.
What I'm saying is they came out. I mean, you dogged them all preseason long. We all did.
And
they
I still will.
40, huh?
Fool's gold. It's fool's gold. That's what I'm telling you. Trust me.
All right,
it's fool's
gold.
Here's
my question. Here's my question to you guys. Now, that was Steve Young talking about the Steelers and Jets game. But my question is, what if they do it again against Pittsburgh's defense, who will be without, Harrison.
Yes.
Timmons is still in there. The secondary is not that good. But what if they do it again versus the Steelers? Would it still be fool's gold, Jerry?
All according to if they win, I still say it's fool's gold. I don't think they will. I think they played a division rival that they always had got the best of, and it was familiar territory that they were dealing with. They have a historically bad record against the Steelers. I don't care who's out. They have a historical record against the Steelers, against any physical team. And the Steelers are a physical team that they don't play well. So if they win, it'll be a total surprise to me because they're playing in Pittsburgh. It'll be a total surprise to me, and it's not going to sway how I feel about them.
I don't think the Jets.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right, and I'll be the first one to tell you. You're damn right. You're absolutely right, and I'm not looking back. I'm not even hesitating about what second guessing what I did. I'm very confident in what I did. I don't care.
You were a fan of the Jets for 40 years, right?
So what?
No, I want to get some. I want to say something first.
40
years. You were a fan of the Jets for 40 years, right?
Yeah.
40.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a fan of the Washington Redskins. Only one time, and I'll admit it. Decided not to follow the Redskins. I'll tell you why in a second. But first, I want to know why you decided to leave the Jets.
What is wrong with you? One time? Are you crazy?
Shut up, Michael. I came back. But I'll tell you why I left them in a minute. This is Jerry's time. Jerry, why did you leave the Jets?
I was tired of the whole organization, the mismanagement, the dysfunction of the whole organization from top to bottom. I just had enough. I've had enough. When you had enough, you know it. You walk away and you don't look back. Plain and simple. And I don't care if you're in a relationship for 40 years. I don't care if you're in a relationship for 40 years or you're in a fan for 40 years. If you've had enough, you can't take it no more, you walk away, you don't look back with no regrets. And that's the way I am. I don't have any regrets. I'm walked away. I've had it. And I'm on to bigger and better things.
Namely the Houston Packers. Here's the reason why I left the Skins, and it was for a brief moment. I will admit it. And my cousin can probably remember when this stuff took place. It was when free agency just began in the NFL. Gary Clark and Wilbur Marshall were let go. Gary Clark went to the Arizona Cardinals, and Wilbur Marshall went to Never Never Land, and we never saw him again.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Clark is my favorite player of all time. Not because of his ability, but because of how hard he fought to, you know, make it in the NFL or to the NFL and in the NFL. And a lot of people felt that he was probably the linchpin on a team that had a Hall of Famer in Art Monk. So, you know, and my game pretty much was like it. I would drop a few balls, but I would catch those balls, and people were like, how do you do it? So that was a bad role model for me, I guess, trying to make it to the pros or whatever. But that's why I left. And then, you know, I was like, you know what, crazy, whatever, I need to go back to my skins. Because I didn't like Buddy Ryan and stuff like that, the way he treated Gary Clark. So I left the Cardinals and came back to the skins. It was only for 1 year, but I did it. But I bring this up because Tebow is a receiver, the up back in the punt team, a quarterback, the wildcat. I honestly believe that Rex Ryan, he was being truthful and very, very revealing that they're going to use him in so many different ways, people are going to go crazy trying to play him for him. And it will be for their benefit. And you said this on the crew show. Sanchez has never looked more comfortable throwing the ball. Not thinking about it, just 1, 2, 3, getting rid of the ball. Do you think that has something to do with the scheme that Sperano brought in and the ability that Tebow provides the Jets? Jerry?
No. I mean, he changed the offensive coordinator, which probably wasn't a good match for Sanchez. You simplified it, made it more ground and pound. Sanchez is a play action; it's better fit for a play action type of offense. And he doesn't have his blankie now because Dustin Keller's not there. You got a bigger receiver, which is supposedly going to take the place of Plaxico Burress and Stephen Hill, even though he's a rookie. And it's one game. They said they didn't reveal anything in the preseason because they wanted to unleash it, supposedly, in quotation marks, on the NFL, and Buffalo was the first one. Well, their skill positions, no one scares them in their skill positions. Not at quarterback, not at running back, not at wide receiver. Santonio Holmes is a number two at best wide receiver. Definitely not a number one, even though he's supposed to be a number one. And Dustin Keller is probably their best weapon, and he's a tight end. And he's not playing because he's got a bad wheel. No one, they played an inferior opponent. A lot of people pumped up Buffalo, maybe overhyped and overestimated how much Buffalo was improved. And Buffalo basically played a bad game, just like a lot of other teams like Detroit, like Philly, played bad games, but they eventually won it. Buffalo couldn't overcome that because the fact is they screwed up so much. They didn't have the weapons to do it, and the Jets took advantage of it. They still scored 28 points on that vaunted defense. Understand that. That's supposed to have been a hell of a defense, and they still scored 28 points on them. So just, people don't
Jerry,
forget that.
Come on now. Buffalo doesn't have a slouch offense. They're not a slouch.
Wait a minute. They're not that great, but they're no slouch. But understand what I'm saying. This is supposed to be one of the top five defenses in the league. In Buffalo, they got beat 48-28. Buffalo scored 28 points on a top five defense that's supposed to be. Understand what I'm saying here. Understand what I'm saying. So,
I got it.
So, I'm telling you, it's fool's gold. It's fool's gold.
Okay, all right. I'm not denying that, but what I'm saying is if they do it again versus Pittsburgh,
they won't.
What then will be the excuse?
That's a big if.
Okay.
That's a huge if.
Yeah, I would have to agree. That's a huge if. Sanchez. I'm just not sold on him, and he gonna have to show me. He gonna have to show it to me. And Rex. So you know, I like that braggadocio, you know, but you know, I also don't like that, you know, that whole family. You know, I don't like Buddy Ryan, and you know where that stems from, the body bag game. But I wanted to get your opinion on that rivalry that just went down Thursday night.
Oh, okay. We can do that because we're going to transition directly to fantasy football, and that is something I wanted to talk about anyway. So it's a great segue. I'm going to tell you. The history, I actually thought that Jay Cutler and the Bears were going to break the streak of terrible performances in Green Bay versus the Bears. I really thought they were. It's terrible how they didn't. And the call from 760 wants to jump in. I'm going to let him jump in a second. But here's my issue. My issue is Jay Cutler got very frustrated. He showed it. I didn't expect it to be a defensive game. I really did not. I thought it was going to be a high-scoring game. I've said it many, many times on the different shows. I really thought it was going to be. I didn't expect the Bears to have 5 sacks and the Packers to have 7 and 3 turnovers by Rodgers and 4 or 5 interceptions by Cutler. I didn't expect that. It hurt me fantasy-wise because in one game that I'm playing against somebody, I had Cutler, Forte, Jordy Nelson, and I think Michael Bush playing. Brandon Marshall playing. So I got screwed fantasy-wise on that one game. And it's against a guy I really, really don't want to lose to. And this kid from California just made one hell of a run. He did 3 spins. And stayed on his feet in inbounds and just ran for a long touchdown. Anyway, that's my thought process on it. I think the rivalry is there, but Cutler needs to keep his composure. He really does. And I understand he's upset that he can't get to Brandon Marshall and that people are hitting him left and right because they're blitzing. Get a better offensive line. That's the bottom line. And before I let anybody else talk, I'm bringing this call from the 760 to see what they have to say about it. Caller from the 760, I see that as soon as the topic of Chicago and Green Bay popped up, you had to chime in. So go ahead and state your claim.
Okay, this is Drea. Thanks, Mikal, for pulling me right on in there. I am a Packer fan, and I've been hearing the flack all week since Sunday because of that loss from against San Francisco. I've been hearing how the Bears just crushed the Colts, and, you know, I believe somebody spoke about, speaking about the Jets and the Bills, about how that was, you know, was 40-something to 28 or whatever have you, but that was against an inept team, a highly inept team. That's what I didn't like about all the trash talking that was going on all week, because the Bears played an inept team, and they really thought they were going to come in and stomp and crush and, you know, they were going to do something that they have not historically been able to do with the Packers at Lambeau, especially with Cutler. I do not think he's elite. I don't think the team is wrapped as tight as people say they are, and they got flat-out exposed Thursday, I think.
Okay.
And, Mikal, you did that on purpose, so yeah.
I guess you knew who was on the line, huh, Mike? Okay.
I set you up, cuz.
It's okay. I don't know this other person from the set. Where is 760 at anyway? Is that in Wisconsin or something?
No, actually, I'm in California, and I'm from Philly. So, no, this is nowhere near Wisconsin.
Oh, so you with me. California. Okay, I feel you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, thanks for the call and the comments. You're welcome to stay on the line and continue to talk with us. If you want to go back, you know, just say so, and I'll put you back on hold and you hear the conversation. Because we're about to transition to fantasy football with that. Because I do agree that the Bears were overconfident. I think that they are a team that can stand up there and be one of the elite teams this year. It's going to take Jay to just freaking, hey, look, I know I can't get it to Brandon, so these other cats got to step up, and I got to get the ball to them. They got to find a way to get open. And with Forte gone up now for maybe 3 to 4 weeks with a high ankle sprain, they're going to have to lean heavy on Michael Bush, who is a very capable back. So we'll see what happens. I'm quite sure a lot of folks grabbed him up during a draft, but if he's available in your fantasy leagues on the waiver wire, you're dumb if you didn't go get him the day before. I'm just going to say that. But fantasy-wise, let's get into it, Jerry. Last week, who were some of the fantasy studs and duds for you, and who would you sit this week?
Oh, God. All right. Let me go back and see. Take a look at one of my teams. And
well,
I can tell
all your teams are duds, dude.
Yeah. Well, in your opinion, and that's a skewed opinion, but that's okay. One of the fantasy duds to look out for is Chris Johnson. A lot of people think that Chris Johnson, because he was on an off-season programs in preseason, he had contract and supposedly all the issues that were swirling around last year, that he would perform a lot better this year. He didn't. The first game. They're saying there still may be issues with the offensive line, and Chris Johnson saying that he's looking for the big play versus taking a 4 or 5 yard play. Hopefully he's taking all that in, and he understands that if there's a hole there, just go to the hole. If it's only a 4 to 5 yard play, that's fine. You come back, maybe the next play that you come back with is the big play. Also having problems with him getting the ball, because he only got 11 yards last time, if I'm not mistaken. And a lot of his points were catching the ball. So the other thing is that to watch out for is this: Rum DMC is up going against who is he going against?
Miami.
San Diego. I don't know. Maybe they fixed their run defense. Chris Johnson is going against their run defense this time. So we'll see what happens if San Diego's run defense stifles Chris Johnson, or the offensive line opens holes so he can run. Jamal Charles, he came back.
He had a decent game.
He had a decent game, but most of it was catching the ball. Most of it was running the ball. A lot of his points also were in catching the ball. He wasn't included that much into the passing game. The surprise here, he's being used as a slot receiver. I would go out there and take a flyer on this guy.
Dexter McCluster.
Absolutely. Dexter McCluster, he's supposed to get involved. He got involved more in the offense last week. Supposedly he's going to get involved more in this week. And along with Jonathan Baldwin, I've been reading reports that the offensive coordinator said that he's going to get more involved in the offense. So watch out for that. I'm trying to think who else here. Peterson.
I want you to save some for tomorrow's show for the master plan.
Gee, thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, we got to have people come listen to the master plan tomorrow, too, right?
10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Starts and sits. I'm going to run down every single game, every single team, the players I think will do well, the players I didn't think will do not so well. And I'm also going to recap what I picked as duds and studs last week. So we'll see how I did last week, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. Mike, real quick, did you get a chance to look at any football other than the Skins game? And who surprised you? And who disappointed you?
Of course, the Mighty Bears surprised me. Cutler and his whole mob, they totally surprised me. It's one thing I wanted to say about Cutler. I think Cutler is really uncomfortable in that offense. I think Cutler needs to be in a West Coast offense, and he's constantly having troubles and issues and stuff like that. He keeps turning out these 3 and 4 interception games, and I think the fact that he's not in a West Coast offense is why he's turning out this type of performance.
He does have his quarterback coach there. I know Mike Tice is the offensive coordinator, so.
Yeah, but it's still not the West Coast offense.
Yeah, yeah.
It's still not the West Coast offense. I mean, he need to be doing 3-step drops and launching off that ball. He really needs to. He's doing a lot more 7-step drops, a lot more 7 and 5-step drops. He's not doing things in rhythm and stuff like that. I think that's his issue. That's why you have not seen him return to the form that he had when he was in Denver.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I agree with you. I'm just saying that he does have his quarterback coach who was supposedly make him more comfortable and being able to perform better. So,
yeah.
Well, I'll say this. As far as surprises and disappointments, I really, really was surprised at how St. Louis performed against Detroit. I'm knocking on Mac right now, but I really thought Detroit, being at home, would totally demolish St. Louis. They stepped up, and you can tell Jeff Fisher has put his mark on the team already because the defense is doing what Spagnuolo built it to do. Okay?
Yeah.
And another surprise I have is no one's giving Mike Singletary any credit
with
the San Francisco 49ers.
Uh-huh.
Jim Harbaugh, he's doing an excellent job. But just like when Tony Dungy left and Gruden took over and took him to the Super Bowl, Harbaugh's come in after Singletary, taking the pieces that he has and putting it together offensively and making it happen. The defense was already good. It just got better. So that was a surprise. And the fact that they handled Green Bay the way they did was a surprise. Also, some duds. I was very disappointed in Eric Decker and what he did with Peyton Manning. He got targeted a lot. But he didn't put up the numbers that I thought he would. And Jordy Nelson this past Thursday dropped several balls that were on his hands. So those are some guys that kind of upset me and I thought were duds for the week. That doesn't mean they'll be duds again. I don't know. We have 6 minutes left of live air, so what I want to do real quick before we go any further, because I want to go down the list of games real quick, Jerry, so if you can pull them up, we can go over them. We'll do that in overtime. But
okay,
I want to say, excuse me, we at Travis Sports and Politics have 5 great shows. On Sunday, tomorrow, 10 a.m., every Sunday, 10 a.m., we have The Master Plan with JT ATM Money Taylor, giving you all the pertinent information you're going to need just before kickoff and your team's lock, fantasy-wise. He does that all football season long, and then outside of football season, he does some wild stuff. I mean, I don't know what he's going to do.
Exactly.
Then on Tuesdays, we have Kim Fun. Great, great show, doing a lot of different things for the youth and for women. If you missed this week's episode, I suggest you check it out. It was a very, very good episode. Kim had a great guest on Miss Sunday. She was very good. Also, on Thursday, FSP Crew Show.
What?
Jerry, Jeff,
Vic, what? Before you go any further, give Kim's time that she's on, because you didn't give it.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Kim Fun airs every Tuesday, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on Blog Talk Radio here. www.blogtalkradio.com/VICHPK. Just get ready for that. Then on Thursdays, we have FSP Crucial with Jeff, Black, and Jerry. Always bringing up something new and interesting. Sometimes they'll have a special guest come on and talk with us. If not, those three guys can find something to talk about. Then on Fridays, No Chase and Mac Williams. Mac has vowed not to talk politics anymore until after the election. I don't know why, because his candidates are a bunch of liars. But he's going to talk sports, and he and Jerry dig into conversations, and they're amicable. You know, I love Mac, because he's so different than any of us, and that's why I love him, because he brings a different flair to this, to the programs.
Way different.
Oh, my goodness.
Way different. Mikal,
hey,
you know that. Way different.
Yeah, way, way different.
But that show airs every Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. So check that out. Trust me, if I get a chance, I'm going to get him into politics again, maybe once or twice before the election. We'll see. Also, again, Saturdays, this show right here, Fantasy Sports and Politics. I'm your host, Jerry's my co-host, and Jerry's the hardest working man in our business because he covers for me and he co-hosts or hosts other shows for us. So we do
those shows a whole lot, very, very put, well,
you know what,
put together.
You're about to get muted.
I would like to say.
You're about to get muted. Silence. I know what you were saying.
What was he going to say?
He was saying the show's a lot better when I'm not the host than you are. That's okay. That's okay. Howard Stern, let Stuttering John take over sometimes.
Oh, okay. That's okay.
Hey, I still love you, dude. All right. Anyway, we got 3 minutes left alive there, so let's get right into it, okay?
Sure.
Let's go into the draft, to our trade situation.
Okay.
And we're going to do our picks in overtime. Okay?
So no problem.
We'll do our picks in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry and I are in one of the leagues I run, and it just so happens in this particular league, you start one quarterback, two running backs, one receiver, you have a flex at tight end, wide receiver, running back, a tight end, a kicker, defense, and three defensive players. Now, I told everybody prior to the draft, look at the setting, and people were drafting receivers and stuff like that. And I drafted four straight running backs, four straight. So, but by me doing that, I also ended up with not that great of quality of quarterback. I have Russell Wilson, who I took a flyer on, and I have Josh Freeman. So, I have AP. I don't have Run DMC. Let me go to AP.
You have LeSean McCoy, AP, Doug Martin, and I forget the fourth running back that you have.
Right now, I just picked up. I picked up the kid out of Arizona, not Beanie Wells, Ryan Williams.
Right. Okay.
And Doug Martin's the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I put it out there because everybody's struggling to find a decent running back, at least three. So they can start, like I did.
Mm-hmm.
So I put out there, I need a quarterback. So I'm going to trade one of my running backs. And Jerry being Jerry, he doesn't offer me a decent deal. He wants to utterly molest me by taking AP from me for Joe Flacco. And I'm like, no. And Jerry never is, he never borrowed it in good faith. He always gives you some BS trade offer, and then he comes back and gives you maybe a decent deal. So I rejected that one, and I countered saying, okay, fine, give me Run DMC and Flacco for AP. He rejected it, sent me Flacco for Doug Martin. Michael?
That's fair.
Well, I'm about to ask Michael. He's impartial. Do you think that's a fair trade? I'll tell you what I think after you say what you have to say.
But the you said AP
for
Flacco and Run DMC?
No.
Well, we already got past that because he rejected that.
Okay.
And we're currently at Flacco for Doug Martin. Tampa Bay Buccaneers running back.
Flacco for Doug Martin. That's not a fair trade. Flacco is trending upwards. I mean, this dude, I mean, he's in a contract here. You know, you got the coach running around talking about pay the man. Yo, that team is about to be his team. You're witnessing the pass of the baton. So, no, that is not a good trade for Doug Martin. No.
Now, Vic, wait a minute. Before you talk.
Go ahead.
Just go back. Just go back before the season started. I don't know what show it was on, but this is what I said.
I said
Joe Flacco is going to surprise the people because they're going to a sugar offense, which is a no-huddle offense, giving him an opportunity to show his arm and open up that offense and throw the ball down the field, and he's going to be a big-time quarterback because the fact is the offense got opened up versus just handing the ball off or dumping the ball off to Ray Rice. And I offered Joe Flacco for Doug Martin, and just like McCall says, that is not an even trade because Doug Martin is not the equivalent of Joe Flacco, in my opinion, because Joe Flacco, just like he said, and he's impartial, Joe Flacco is trending up. But if you think that the first trade – that Flacco and DMC for AP was even close to being fair, you are out of your California-bound mind.
I never said it was fair. I intentionally sent you that. I knew it wasn't fair.
I knew. Yeah, you knew it wasn't fair. But that's okay.
I mean, I knew you weren't going to take it. If you took it, I was going to be excited. But,
would it be a fair trade? Would it be Flacco for AP straight up?
Yep.
Whatever, dude. No.
But he doesn't see it that way. See, Vic likes.
Okay. First of all, AP is a top 4 or 5 running back and top 4 or 5 draft pick. I know he just came off of surgery, and I got him like in the fourth round.
All right. I smell a wager.
Flacco is nowhere near that value.
I smell a wager going on, and this is the wager. The wager is this. He's going to be at least a top 10, probably in the top 5 in quarterback this year, Joe Flacco.
Yeah. I would agree. He's going to be in the top 10, the top 15 quarterbacks this year.
No. We have to quantify this now. We say top 5, Jerry. Top 5 in what? Passing, top 5 in QB rating, top 5 in touchdowns, top 5 in what?
That's a good question. Let me think about this. He's going to be a top 5 fantasy quarterback, number-wise.
Top 5 fantasy quarterback.
Yes. We're talking fantasy, right?
Are we talking about in my point system or in general? Because we can go by my point system. Because that's where you got him. Because if we go by regular fantasy, no, he's not. Flacco will not be a top 5 quarterback. Not in my system, and definitely not in fantasy.
He'll be a top ten quarterback.
No. You said 5. We're gonna go with 5. We'll go with 5 since that's what you said first.
I said 5. He'd be 10 to 5. I said that's what I said. I didn't say 5. I said 10 to 5, top 10 to 5 top quarterback. So
I mean, yeah, he could be a top 10 quarterback. There ain't that many good ones in the league. Top 5? No.
He and Matt Ryan are going to break that top 10 because the fact is the volume of passes they're going to be throwing down the field because of the no huddle offense, they will crack the top 10. I can guarantee you that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan, yes. They both have tools.
Flacco's got it, Vic. I don't know. I don't know how you don't see it.
What. He's good, but he's not that good. He's not a top 5. Maybe a top 10. Maybe.
I mean, right now. If you look at him right now, you are absolutely correct.
You
are absolutely correct. If you're looking at him just today. But if you're looking at having a player that's going to keep trending up, and he's, you know, and the fact that he has, it's a contract year, and you got Ray Lewis, you know, backing him up on this, talking about, you know, that's his offense and all the tools that they got for him, and they've opened it up and da-da-da-da. Nah, dude, this dude is going to get it. Mark my words. He's definitely going to be up there.
I doubt it, but okay. But if you want to smell a waste, Jerry, top five fantasy quarterback, I'll take that. Top 10, too easy for him to get there. But, you know, top five, I smell a wager. So, if you don't want to go there, we can move right into the picks, because I know you don't have the brass to take that bet.
Well, I'm not going to take that, because the fact is that the simple fact is, if he's a top 10 quarterback, then that the trade I just offered you should be a no-brainer. But
well, I don't believe he is.
I don't know what you're not seeing. Opportunity targets create opportunities. He's going to create targets for people down the field, and that opportunities for big time scores, especially for Torrey Smith. I don't understand why you can't see that. I have no idea.
Ray Rice is the guy that creates those opportunities.
Wait a minute. Now this is out of Ray Rice's mouth. This is Joe Flacco's team. I don't have any problem with the way the offense is running at all. That's what Ray Rice had to say. He had no problem with Joe Flacco and the offense the way it's been run, because the fact is they're moving the ball and it opens up running lanes for Ray Rice. When they throw the ball down the field, they got to worry about the pass, and then Ray Rice can run pretty free between the tackles or outside. So I don't know. You got to start reading or something, man. You're not comprehending what's going on here. I'm telling you, Joe Flacco. A lot of people don't think he's going to do anything. It's a contract year. They're opening up the offense to take advantage of his big arm with a no huddle. That means high-powered offense. When you get a no huddle, that means you're thinking of throwing the ball more with a big arm quarterback.
More of an opportunity to turn the ball over too, which he's been prone to do.
Well, I mean that happens with Peyton Manning is in a no huddle. Matt Ryan's in a no huddle. I mean, a lot of these guys that get a no huddle doesn't mean they're going to get a whole bunch of interceptions. It means the offense is going to flourish and be in a high-powered and high-scoring offense. So that means the numbers are going to go up for the receivers, the numbers are going to go up for whatever quarterback is in that offense. And it's in a contract year. So he's got all the motivation to play well and all the tools and the know-how to play well. Everything's trending, just like Mikal saying, up for Joe Flacco, because they're exploiting his talents. They're doing what he can do the best is throw the ball.
So, okay. I mean, if that's the way you feel about it.
That's okay.
I just don't. All right.
We got to talk off air, because I have no idea what you think Joe Flacco is worth. If you can't pull the trigger on a Doug Martin, Joe Flacco, that's boggles my mind. But anyway, go right ahead.
I got to go pick up my new American English Bulldog. I'm adopting one today. We'll talk about it, though. Let's get into the game. And I didn't say I was going to take the Flacco-Martin deal. However, I like Martin a lot. I really do. So I gotta think about that one. All right. First
then
game
you,
we're going to go into.
Then you really
win or lost.
Then you really don't want to deal then. You really don't want to deal, because if you fall in love with a player and you're not willing to part with him, you're not ready to deal.
We'll see. What I want from you guys is a winner and one fantasy guy to watch out for, okay?
Sure.
A winner and a fantasy guy to watch out for. KC Buffalo, we're going to go in this order every time. Jerry, then Mike. Let's go.
KC. I like KC in this game, and I like Jamal Charles on one side and like C.J. Spiller on the other.
All right, all right, all right. Mike,
where they playing? They playing in Buffalo?
In Buffalo.
Yeah. Ooh. Give me KC. And, yeah, I'll take a fly on Jamal Charles. What the hell?
I'm going to take Buffalo and Jonathan Baldwin because they're going to play a lot of man-to-man coverage. And like Jerry said, the coach says that the reason why Baldwin didn't get any targets last week is because they played a two-cover shell just like they did, just like Green Bay did to Chicago.
Oh, you are listening to me.
Shut up. So that's why Dexter McCluster got so many targets. So that's what that was about. We're going to see what happens there. Also, North Carolina raise up, taking on New Orleans. Let's go.
Ooh. I'm going to take a surprise here. Carolina, quite naturally, Cam Newton, and on the other side is Drew Brees. Which is two no-brainers.
I'm going Carolina. I look for them Saints to go 0-2. You definitely want to take Cam Newton. But you also want to take a look at Mr. Steve Smith. On the other side, I don't know because I like Sproles, but he was just. He had one touchdown and he had a couple of plays, but I look for him to have a better game against them, but it's still not going to help.
Okay. I'm going to pick New Orleans to send Carolina to 0-2. And the player I have to watch out for in this game, Brandon LaFell. I think he's going to do well. Because they're going to probably double-team Steve Smith, and LaFell stepped up last week, and he'll do it again. Cleveland at Cincinnati.
Got bad taste in my mouth. A.J. Green on one side, Trent Richardson on the other, and I like Cincinnati. Cleveland has no offense to speak of. Brandon Whedon is a... turnover waiting to happen. Cincinnati.
I'm going with the Natty. Natty. That's right. Take my man Dalton, and of course you want to take AJ Green. I don't even know who is over there on the Cleveland side. They still got Colt McCoy. Really? I can't. Trent Richardson, you know, he needs a little time, so no, I'm not touching any of their players.
All right. Here's my shocker of the week. Book it, okay? Trent Richardson will run the ball 25-30 times this game. Brandon Wheat will only have one turnover. Cincinnati comes to DC next week 0-2. Cleveland's defense is just that good. If they can bottle up Michael Vick, force him to have four turnovers and break up some of his receivers because Jackson's not playing this week. He might not play this week. I think they can handle A.J. Green and that so-so run offense of Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati visits the nation's capital 0-2 next week. Cleveland in an upset. Minnesota and Indianapolis.
Another one, bad taste in my mouth. Wow. You know what? I'll take Percy Harvin on Minnesota, and I'll take Reggie Wayne and Indianapolis, and home opener for Andrew Luck. I'll take Andrew Luck and Indianapolis Colts.
All right.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, sir. I'm not too sold on Minnesota. I think this is a perfect game for Luck to go ahead and try to answer RG3's first game. No pressure, no diamond.
So I'm going with Indianapolis Colts. Take Reggie Wayne.
All right. Well, I guess we're not going to agree that much today. I'm going with Minnesota. And my two sleeper picks of the week, Fleener and Rudolph, both tight ends. Fleener had eight catches last week for, or six catches last week with 10 targets. Rudolph had five catches last week with nine targets. Both of them had 67 yards receiving. No, excuse me, Fleener had 87 yards receiving. So I like that matchup there. I'm picking Minnesota because AP's going to score three times in this game. All right, Houston at Jacksonville. I think we're all going to agree on this one, but let's do it anyway.
Do we have to? Do we really have to do this?
Yes.
This is my team. This is the future AFC champion, Houston Texans. Easy in this game. Oh, I would say easy because it's a division rivalry and Jacksonville plays well at home. I take, you know what? I'll take a Owen Daniels. Okay, I won't go for the easy
one.
Oh
my God, dude!
I won't go for an easy one here. I go for Owen Daniels on the Houston side, and on the Jacksonville side, I'll go for an easy one. I'll go for MJD. No, I won't go for MJD. I don't think he's going to run that well against the Houston defense. I'll go for Mercedes Lewis, the tight end.
Yeah.
I was going for two tight ends on both ends. I'm going for Houston in this one.
Mike?
I'm going with Houston, and you could just about pick any player on the offensive line. I mean, even the offensive tackle may get you more points in football with this team against the Jacksonville Jaguars. If you have to grab somebody from Jacksonville, you know what? If you have to grab somebody from Jacksonville, think about picking up one of the Redskins running backs. It doesn't matter. You know, either or it's terrible. So, you know.
That has nothing to do with the game. All right. I'm taking Houston.
My man. I love my man. I tell you.
we're unanimous in this. Jerry picked my guys as far as folks want to look out for. But, so, does not score a touchdown since game two of last year, I mean, of a season ago. Two seasons. I think he breaks that streak this week, even though Jackson has a pretty good defense. I look for MJD to get in the end zone. And Arian Foster, even though he has flu-like symptoms, plays 2.5, 3/4 because they're up by so much and he scores once or twice. Next game, Oakland at Miami.
Oof. You know what? I'm going to take Oakland, and I like run DMC to run wild and finally run wild against the Miami defense. And I'm going to go the other side with the other running back, Reggie Bush. I'm going to take Reggie Bush on the other side, but I like Oakland to win the game.
All right, Mike.
I'm going with Oakland, and every time you player touch the football, it is the music, my Adidas. Every time, the DMC is going to be running wild. I agree with you, Jerry. Miami just, oh my goodness. Any of you saw any of Hard Knocks this year, you should know to take the Oakland Raiders.
All right. I have Oakland in this game as well. I think that it's going to be tough for Miami to actually generate any type of offense against them. You know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Mike Bell actually just joined the Chicago Bears, by the way. So he's coming in since Matt Forte is is out for a couple weeks. But Oakland in this game, we don't have anybody on Miami's side to take others in their kicker. And I look for Darius Haywood Bay to have a bust-out game this week. I really do. All right, Arizona at New England.
Do I really have to? I like New England. They're playing home. Arizona, it's got a their offense is wow. You know what? I like who do I like in this? I mean, wow. I don't want to keep taking a running back. How about Aaron Hernandez? I'll take Aaron Hernandez in here to have a decent game. And on the other side, I'm going to see New England stifled Chris Johnson. Let me see what happens when they run up against Ryan Williams.
Okay. Mike?
I look for New England to just stomp a mud hole on Arizona. And if you are an unfortunate sap that has Kevin Cobb as your quarterback, you definitely want to bench him this week. He's going to have an upwards of at least two interceptions, but I'm thinking he's going to have like three. At least two, but McCall says three, so we'll see.
And for those reasons, I picked New England as well, and my play is the Patriots defense. I really think the Patriots defense is going to be – they're ranked number one right now in fantasy. It's only week one, but I think they're going to maintain that ranking and have an outstanding game versus Arizona at home. Kevin Cobb. Oh, boy, Kevin Cobb. All right, moving on because we've got to hurry up, guys. Tampa Bay at the Giants.
Wow. Hard-fought game. I think the Giants are going to win this game. Vincent Jackson is going to have a very good day. I think he is. Giants DBs are weak at best.
Yeah.
And I think, wow. Who? I think Martellus Bennett should have a good day against the Tampa Bay defense.
Mike?
Okay. I like the Giants. I like the Giants in this one. I think Tampa Bay is going to give up a galleon effort. I think it's going to be a three-point game with the swing to the Giants. For Victor Cruz to step up this week.
I agree. It's going to be tough for him to do it against that defense. I think the Giants are going to win. A hard-fought game, as you guys said already. Vincent Jackson should have an outstanding game. Will he? I don't know, because of Greg Schiano's run first and run all the time mentality. We'll see what happens there. I like Doug Martin to do pretty well versus this Giants run defense. So we'll see what happens on that side of the ball as well. Let's move on to Baltimore-Philly. Very good game. Very interesting matchup, too.
Oof. Wow. I'm going to save it for tomorrow. I got a sleeper in here on the Philly side, so I'm going to save it for tomorrow. I'm going to take Brent Celek as a decent play in here. And on the other side, I think Torrey Smith, even though with those DBs, I think Torrey Smith may have a good day.
The team
I like is Philly.
All right, Mike.
A dirty bird versus a filthy bird.
Wow.
I'll take the dirty bird. Give me Flacco with three touchdowns in this one. Mike Vick, he'll run for one, probably throw two as well, but it still won't be enough. I think it'll be a little bit of a high-scoring game with Flacco and those Ravens coming out on top.
I disagree. I think Philly wins the game. I think Shady doesn't run for 100, but he catches for 100. the reason why I say Philly wins without Deshaun Jackson is because they're going to spread out that defense and make them cover them and not blitz. So I see that being the case. I hope that Andy Reid doesn't lose his job just yet, but 61 passes and 20-something rushes, a lot of time they had a ball and only put 17, 16 points.
Something interesting about that game. This will be the first game that Michael Vick and Ray Lewis play against each other in.
Really?
Really.
Wow. Didn't know that. That's going to be interesting because Ray Lewis is probably going to put him on the shelf. We'll say, I love you, dog, but tell him to go, night-night. Night-night, dude. Night-night. Okay. Moving on. I got you, Kevin Hart, if you didn't get that. Next game, Dallas at Seattle.
Where are they playing?
They're playing in Seattle. You know what? I like Dallas in this game. I think Dallas is going to win the game. Let's see if Kevin Ogletree is for real. And let me see. Let's have DeMarco Murray on one end. I think he can run against that defense. And Braylon Edwards on the other.
Killing my thunder. Go ahead, Mike.
I'm going with Seattle. Yeah, I said it. All you Cowboy fans, y'all going to be hurting and crying. Get used to it. All year long, y'all going to be crying all year. I like the young blood Wilson out there. Definitely want you definitely should have Marshawn Lynch out there running all up in there. You know what? I'm not too sold on the young guy, Ogletree, whatever his name is.
Ogletree.
I saw a lot of fantasy owners were, you know, snatching him up. I think you want to wait. You want to wait on him.
All right. I'm going to go with my cousin on this, not because of the fact that I hate the Cowboys, but because you're playing in Seattle. I like Russell Wilson because Dallas has a problem with mobile quarterbacks. I think that Carroll's going to get him moving around a little bit and have DeMarcus Ware chasing him all over the place. Edwards is going to, he's regretting dropping that game-winning touchdown. I think he's the favorite target. Sidney Rice is still up there, too, and he gives Dallas fits as well. So for that reason, and the fact that I think Seattle is better than what they showed last week, I'm going to pick Seattle in Seattle. Now, if they were in Dallas, I'd go with Dallas, but they're in Seattle. Next game, and the play, again, I say Sidney Rice as a play there because Claiborne is not going to be able to match up versus him. Sorry. Washington at St. Louis. I know my cousin and I have Washington. We're both picking RG3 and Alfred Morris to be the keys. But go ahead, Jerry.
I'm picking Washington in this game. I'm picking Washington in this game. I like what I saw in RG3, and I have RG3 in a few of my leagues as my starting quarterback. So I was feeling pretty good when I saw what I – because I watched the game from start to finish. On the St. Louis side, you know what? I'm going to another tight end, Lance Kendricks. How's that? I'm going to go with Lance Kendricks on one side and the kid Aldrick Arrington or whatever his freaking name is on the other. Anderson, there you go, on the other in Washington.
Okay.
You mean Aldrick Robinson?
No, whoever the running
Morrison is the running back.
No. I'm talking about the wide receiver
Patrick Robinson.
Okay.
Oh, Robinson.
Yeah. Robinson, yes. I'll take him because I have Pierre Garçon maybe still banged up or whatever, and he had a good rapport with RG3 when he was playing in the game. So.
All right.
I like my Redskins in this game. I think this game is going to be a lot closer. Not going to be a blowout.
And I really wouldn't take Alfred Morris in this game because St. Louis is going to be looking to stop the run.
Mhm. But who are you going to pick?
I look for Shanahan to run Alfred Morris a couple of times, and then when he runs him up and bangs him up in the hole and he can't get in the hole, he's going to go ahead and go with Evan Royster like he always do. Like I told everyone at the beginning of the year, do not take any risk in running backs because of this.
Okay. All right. Well,
it's a player that you want to take. I would definitely take Hankerson. Hankerson is going to come up with a big game this week.
Well, interesting.
I mean, he needs to. He needs to, but I don't know if it's going to happen. Let's move on. Four more games left and very little time.
Mm-hmm.
Jets at Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, Antonio Brown, Darrell Revis, McCarty.
Yeah, Joe McKnight might be playing cornerback.
Cromartie is going to be on Mike Wallace. Antonio Brown are absolutely loving this. And on the other end, you know what? On the other end, I like what I saw from this kid. I don't know if he can keep it going because of his quarterback and because of the offense. Stephen Hill.
Okay. All right. Mike?
I like Pittsburgh.
I take Pittsburgh, man. You got Ryan Clark coming back this week.
Yep.
You know because he can't play in that high altitude. He'll be back this week. He'll bring some thunder and some lightning for them Steelers. I agree with Jerry. I take Antonio Brown. The Jets. I'll take Cedric Benson.
Who?
Who's the running back? Who they got running back for him? I'm sorry. I'm thinking
Sean Green.
I'm sorry. Dang, that's why I was thinking Green. So Green was in my head, and I just said the dude from Green Bay. Anyway,
it's okay.
Take Sean Green.
Alzheimer's sets in early. Okay. I'll pick Pittsburgh as well. And my pick, Jonathan Dwyer. He's going to run wild over that Jets defense. Tennessee and San Diego.
I still don't believe in San Diego. You know what?
And not to mention that Antonio Gates might not play, and Ryan Matthews looks like he won't play either.
I like Tennessee in this game. I like Chris Johnson in this game, and I also like on the other side Malcolm Floyd. I like on the other side.
Where are they playing?
They're playing in San Diego.
Give me the Chargers. They'll take dudes out. I have no faith in Tennessee.
I have no faith in Norman Turner.
Letting this go.
All right, well, I'm going to pick Tennessee. Kenny Britt returns, so it's going to help out the rookie wide receivers and the tight end Cook. So Britt and Cook. Britt might play maybe 20 snaps or so, but I look for him to be an impactful player, and Cook should do well versus San Diego's linebackers. And, again, I like Tennessee as well. I don't know if CJ2K is going to get going or not, but I still think they're going to win regardless. Detroit, San Francisco, at San Francisco.
I like Detroit in this game, believe it or not. I like Detroit in this game. Both these teams, including the coaches, don't like each other. Detroit woke up and got a rude awakening last week. I think they play much better this week. Too much hype on San Francisco. They're not as good as they're a good team. They're a good defense, but not as good as they're being pumped up, and I think they'll come back down to earth. I like Detroit in this game, and I also would go with Vernon Davis and you notice I'm going with a bunch of tight ends. Vernon Davis and Pettigrew. Absolutely.
Look for San Francisco to thrash these Lions. They are going to smack them up and down this field. Believe that.
Wow.
I don't think Cisco is like a great team, but they are very, very. I don't think the Lions can go blow to blow with them. I don't see it. Take my man Gore.
That's interesting. I wouldn't pick more. But I'm going to pick San Francisco as well. I think Megatron's bum ankle is going to show up in this game because San Fran's defense is just that
bless
good.
You.
And,
bless you.
Thank you. And it won't be a shootout. It won't be a shootout. But Randy Moss gets in the end zone again. He loves playing Detroit. Last game, Denver at Atlanta.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Ooh.
Denver at Atlanta, Jerry.
High scoring game.
Monday night.
I like Eric Decker on one side. I like Julio Jones, the number one receiver this year, on the other side. Who do I like in this game? Let me go with the seasoned vet, Peyton Manning, Denver.
Okay. Mike,
this is a real hard game. Of course, I like Roddy White and Julio Jones. Either one of them dudes, you won't go wrong. Got the returning vet. Got the up and coming youngin. Very, very consistent. Ooh, where are they playing?
Atlanta.
Ooh, they're playing in Atlanta. It's still a dome. I'm going to go with Peyton Manning. I'm going to go with the Denver Broncos.
All right. I'm going to go with Atlanta and the Peyton Manning beater, Asante Samuels. Asante Samuels is the starting cornerback now that Brent Grimes is gone for the season. So Asante Samuels is the other corner starting for Atlanta Falcons, and he thrives against Peyton Manning. So I'm going to pick Atlanta to do that, and for the IDP people, you might want to get him because he loves picking off Peyton Manning, and he loves reading his eyes. I think, Sean Marino will not have the same type of game that he had last week. Willis McGahee will do well. And this is the game that you play Michael Turner. This is the game you play Michael Turner. They're going to try to run the ball down Denver's throat to keep Peyton Manning on the sideline. This is the game that you play Michael Turner. Just putting that out there, all right? Parting shots real quick, fellas, and then we can get out of here.
Tune in tomorrow for 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I've run down every game, every position. I think it's going to be a fantasy impact on both sides of the ball. Excuse me, both sides of the on whatever teams were playing each other. 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'll be there. Master plan.
Mike.
RG3 is the real deal. Yes, he is. I am way past the man crush stage. Way past that. Just so you know how far the brass is, they went down to the Bahamas as soon as they got the second pick. Once they made the deal to get the second pick, they went to the Bahamas. That's just how hyped they were. No pressure, no diamonds. Well,
what?
No pressure, no timing.
Requesting no timing?
No pressure, no diamonds.
Oh, no pressure, no diamond. Okay.
Right.
All right. I didn't hear that. It's the cold.
Okay, it's okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. FSP says this. Check this out, ladies and gents. We've got a great plethora of shows for you. My cousin has one as well. It's called Grown Soul and Real Talk every Wednesday night, 8:30 Eastern Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio. Just look up www.blogtalkradio.com/GSRT. GSRT. Every Wednesday, and trust me, it's adult. Because it's adult. Anyway,
it's adult.
Check it out. Check it out. We've got all these other great shows here on Blog Talk Radio, so we appreciate you and your patronage. Thank you very, very much for listening to us. Jerry, you know what to do.
You've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got to live, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics.